Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Is That Kid Anyway? The talk show.
Well, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert Denise Harding, and etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as Etiquette Lady Donna Paige.
Right.
Well, happy Sunday, happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, June 20th, 2010, and we are broadcasting from extremely hot Atlanta. Oh, my goodness. I'm Donna Paige Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and...
And I am Denise Harding. I am the HR Lady. Yes, it is hot today, Donna, in Atlanta.
Man, Denise, how are you? And are you staying?
I'm doing very well. Yes, I am. I have no choice.
It is absolutely unbelievable. And can you believe, according to the calendar, summer does not officially start until tomorrow, which is June 21st. Now, who's the calendar kidding? Oh, my goodness.
And but, I guess this is just what's to come next, huh?
Yeah, God, I know it's not even July yet. So.
Yes.
Wow. So you guys out there listening from around the country, this is why when people tell you where they're from, they say Hot Atlanta. And it really does have a meaning because it's hot. It is absolutely hot. Although I was watching some of the soccer today, and they had on jackets and hats, and I was watching them, and I was getting even hotter. But it was cold over there where they were. So anyway, you guys, last week we told you that it would be back, and today we are returning with pet peeves. And what we want you to do out there is just simply let us know exactly what peeves you when it comes to improper etiquette. Now, when we do this show, we're going to give you an opportunity to just sound off, you know, get it off your chest and feel better when you start your new work week. So how about that? How many times are you able to do that in a nice forum like this? So tell us what peeves you. And but first of all, what we want to do, of course, the name of this show is What Is Etiquette Anyway? So since it's a question, that means we need to answer. And, of course, we always say etiquette is just simply a fancy word for manners. And actually, the word itself, etiquette, is simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. And, Denise, isn't that what you want?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because that is certainly what I want. But anyway, the word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So, in case you don't remember all the details, just remember that etiquette is just simply a fancy word for manners. Okay? Now, Denise. Before we start with the pet peeves, remember last week One of our listeners emailed us regarding neighbors having parties and being loud. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
You actually read that one. Well, obviously, one of my neighbors did not hear the show. And I thought, how ironic that as I drove up my street Monday night, now the show, of course, we air on Sundays, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was Monday night, the day after. And as I drove up the street, there were youngsters, and when I say youngsters, maybe in their early 20s or so, they were outside playing their music loud, sitting on the cars and having what seemed to be like a car party or something. And I thought to myself, this is not happening. We just talked about this yesterday. So that just really, really tripped me out. So, you know, I pulled in the driveway, and as I entered the house, I was saying to myself, you know, during this time, let me see how long this is going to last. Because, you know, we talked about, you know, lasting late into the night and
mm-hmm.
you know, people trying to sleep and that kind mm-hmm. of thing. So I said, okay, let me just see how long this is going to last. And of course, I said, excuse me, if it's too long, then I'm going to have to take my own advice that I gave to the listener. And, you know, just so happened it wasn't too long, and I didn't have to call the police. So I'm glad to report that, but I just found that absolutely ironic because we had just talked about that. I said,
mm-hmm.
you know what? Let me give them an archive of that show. Let me just kind of, you know, put it in their mailbox. Would that be good etiquette? Just kind of put it in their mailbox. But anyway, you know, I'm glad to report again that it didn't get out of control. And so, you know, I think they just thought there was nothing to it. But anyway, let's talk pet peeves. That's what we're talking about today. So you guys, if we've already received some emails, but you can certainly continue to email us at etiquetteladies@gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies, plural, etiquetteladies @gmail.com. Or you can certainly give us a call at 347-324-3295. Well, Denise, maybe we'll let you get started first.
Okay.
With, some of the emails you've pulled.
Okay, very good, Donna. I know that we do this type of show several times during the year, and last year we had lots of listeners who love the Pet Peeve show. And based on these emails that I pulled today,
mm-hmm.
oh, my goodness, they are so glad to get some things off of their chest. So I will start with the first one. It says, "Dear Etiquette Ladies, I love listening to your pet peeve shows, and I decided to write you on one of mine. I work in an open environment with cubicles. I don't like it when people take things off my desk area and never ask to use them or return them. So I have to ask and walk around to find my things. I don't mind people using them. Just please ask and make a conscious effort to return them. What do you ladies say to those people who take things and don't return them? I'm a little frustrated. D in Tacoma, Washington."
Wow. D, that is frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And in asking what do we say, well, what I say, first of all, is that's stealing.
Exactly. That's my
you know,
thing, too. That's exactly
right,
what I was thinking.
Exactly, because if it doesn't matter what it is, but when you take something that you didn't ask for that doesn't belong to you, that automatically enters you into the category of stealing. And is stealing good etiquette? Absolutely not. So what I would do is just kind of ask around and you probably know or have an idea who's, you know, taking stuff. But I would just say something, and again, we always say on this show it's not necessarily what you say but how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, listen, you know, you guys know, whoever's taking stuff from me, can you just please ask, you know, if I have something that's extra, I'll be more than happy to let you borrow it or have it. But it's just a matter of making sure that you at least have the common courtesy to ask before you just take
mm-hmm.
something. And
or in extreme cases, Dee, lock your things up when you leave.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Wow. And that's a shame, but yeah.
I know it is. In extreme cases.
Mhm. Exactly. And the same thing. If I could piggyback on that for a minute, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
In the book that I wrote, What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? I talk about these kind of things. It's because it's a book about workplace etiquette, and I also talk about things that when you are at work, and no matter how many supplies are in maybe the supply cabinet, the supply closet, and you feel that you need just a few extra notebooks or some post-it notes or something like that, not only to use at work, but to use at home. And so you don't want to do that. You don't want to take, because, again, that's feeling. But, you know, I've seen people that say, well, wow, I mean, they have so many, no one will actually miss it. Well, no, that's not right either.
That's
so,
right. You're right.
Yeah. And so you don't want to do that. You want to utilize the supplies from the supply area for, you know, what you need them for at work and not taking them home. So just kind of wanted to throw that out there. And Denise, actually, I believe I've told one, it's regarding work as well. It says, Etiquette
okay.
Ladies, I am glad you are back. I'll be emailing you about rude people at work. As a matter of fact, one of my pet peeves is nosy people on my job. They try to listen to my phone calls by standing next to me. What should I do? I want to curse them out. And this comes from Miss Myers, Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, real similar. First of all, thank you so much for posing this question, Miss Myers, so that you don't have to curse them out. But what you certainly want to do is just, you know, when they're around you, just put the person on hold and ask them if you can help them. Because a lot of times, and this is so common in the workplace,
yes,
is, you know, you'll be on the phone or you'll be talking to someone, and someone comes up and they want to either talk to you or they want to see you for something.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, especially on the phone, I can remember so many times this happened. People just come and stand right in front of you.
Yeah.
And you guys, that's really kind of rude. If you see someone on the phone or they're engaged in a conversation with someone and you need to see that person, you know, take and jot down a little note and just hand it to them, and then they can call you when they're done. But to just kind of linger around to listen out. And sometimes people do that just to kind of see if they can hear what's going on. So, yeah, we don't want to be that rude. We want, if you see someone that is engaged in conversation, always remember to just simply, you know, if you stand there a couple seconds and you see that they're still engaged and are not getting ready to hang up, just hand them a note or come back later.
Absolutely.
And,
that is so true.
And usually when people get done, they'll just simply, they'll come and find you and say, oh, did you need to see me for some reason?
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, that
is
happens.
Really important.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that was just really important. And it seems simple. It seems like common sense. But you know what we always say on this show over and over is common sense doesn't seem so common anymore.
You know, you're so right about that. With me working in an environment in HR, it's constant movement, people coming by all the time. And I typically will get off, you know, ask the person on the phone to hold on just a second and let them know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I will be with you in a moment. Where are you going to be? I'll call you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're going to lunch, then come back after lunch. I really need to finish this phone call first. So in most cases, I've had good response, but I have also had negative responses in the workplace as well, because, and that's a pet peeve of mine, Donna, when you tell people that you need to complete something and they are adamant about what they need at the moment and pretty much insist that you talk to them or speak to them at that time. So I've had to, you know, dig a little deeper and let them know that it's okay that you need something, but my time is just as important, you know, as yours. And some people are very rude when they can't get what they need right at that time. And in a lot of cases, it's been things that could have waited. It wasn't like I'm dying, I'm sick kind of a situation or an emergency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's real important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to just simply in everything, it's just following the golden rule. And mm-hmm. the golden rule, of course, is the first rule of etiquette, which is, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated.
Absolutely.
It's just, you know, it's so important to do that. And, you know, there are a lot of workplace taboos that go on for the simple fact, you know, some people don't really know, they're not real sure, and then you have other people that know, but they don't care, and just similar to what you just said, that they just,
mm-hmm.
you know, they want it, and they want it right now. It's just like okay. being part of the fast food society, give it to me now,
mm-hmm.
but we have to, we certainly have to remember to try to make sure that we are considerate of at all times. And if you want to go ahead and go into one of your other emails, Denise.
Oh, sure. Dear ladies, thanks for doing the show again. Pet peeves. I have so many, but the one that gets me is people who think they can sing and they really can't. And they're always asking you, how does this sound? I always tell them, oh, you need to keep working on that one. Laugh, Jay in Houston, Texas.
Jay, are they singing to you, Jay? Jay, are you a music producer and they're trying to audition, or what's going on with that? Oh, that's cute enough.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. I mean, I don't know if you know, but I've had people to sing, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking, oh, wow. And I can't sing myself, but then I know when I listen to other people who can't sing, it's kind of funny, and they're the loudest sometimes. And then they're all off-key sometimes, and they think they have it going on. You know, like the shows on TV now, like what are those talent shows type
yeah.
shows?
America's
you ever look
Got
at those?
Talent.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
America's Got Talent. I like that one. Yeah, that's really
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah, they're pretty funny. Well, the man mm-hmm. with the pants on the ground was funny last year. That
oh,
was so funny.
Man, was that? Oh, my goodness. But you know what? I heard he got sued for something.
Yes, I
oh,
did
yeah.
because somebody else said that they had already made this song, and I don't know, something crazy about
right.
him stealing their song and making it big. I'm not sure the whole story on that. But, yeah, I did hear that, too.
I like the lyrics to that song, though.
Oh, yeah.
Pants
it's perfect for etiquette, isn't it?
Exactly. We may have to adapt that for one of our wardrobe shows.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, man, that is too funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show is sponsored by Pages Etiquette Seminars, LLC. Pages Etiquette Seminars provides both personal and professional development training for all ages and offers motivational and training materials such as What is Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. This book covers introductions, writing thank yous, table and telephone manners, and much more. In addition, the book, What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key ingredients for building successful working relationships. Some of its contents include how to master the art of networking, business over lunch, and how to impress your interviewer, only to name a few. Pages Etiquette Seminars, that's www.pagesetiquette.com, www.pagesetiquette.com.
All right, Denise, if you want to go ahead and jump into some of, we're going to promise you we're going to get through all these emails on today.
Okay. This one is something about dinner. Okay, it says, Dear Etiquette Ladies, I was at dinner a few days ago, and I could literally hear the man at the next table smacking on his food and talking all at the same time. It was quite distracting, and at one point, I could only chuckle to myself. I'm sure his guests could hear him as well, but it didn't seem to faze her. Can't he hear himself? I wanted to slip the brother a note and say, calm down, the food is not going anywhere. So I tried to ignore it and enjoy my own food. Should I have done something, etiquette ladies? Somewhat embarrassed, Yolanda K., Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
And now it's time for Dining Out Encounters.
And I should certainly
and
say
now it's
that was definitely a dining out encounter.
Yes, it was.
You know, I didn't really mean to chuckle, but you would think if you can hear someone smacking that they certainly can hear themselves. But,
I would think too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But sometimes being engrossed in conversation while you're smacking, you're possibly drowning your smacking out.
Or you're so used to it that
right. It
doesn't even faze you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is, now who was that from again?
This was from Yolanda K. in Atlanta,
yes.
Georgia. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Yolanda. I do understand. One of my major pet peeves are table manners. Oh, my goodness. With people smacking and all those kinds of things. She didn't really say, Denise, whether or not that was her date. I don't think she...
No, it was the
right.
table across from her.
Oh, across from her. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I remember it's going to allude to someone who had sent us an email a while back, and she was talking about it with her date, and she said that it was like a date from hell because he was smacking his lips and licking his fingers and all those other things.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
So just for dining etiquette, I mean, here again, we talk about, you know, it just seems like it will be common sense, but, you know, common sense is not so common anymore. But just a matter of, because he sounded like he had two issues going on at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and that was eating while talking and,
yeah.
you know, smacking as well. So, you know, it would really be okay if this person, say you were dining with this person, to say something to them because they may not, and just, you know, start your conversation simply by saying you may not realize it, but, you know, you're really pretty loud while you're chewing or eating. So, and we always want to be nice. It's not necessarily what we say, but it's how we say it. So we do want to be, you know, courteous and polite when we say something. And some people may not realize it. Some do, some don't. Some don't care, and some would be really concerned if that was brought to their attention. So, you know, with all of that said, just with dining manners, it's just simply do not eat and talk at the same time. And, you know, a lot of things that go along with that, too, is chewing, you know, with your mouth open because you're trying to talk at the same time. And, you know, nobody really wants to see that chewed up stuff in your mouth. It's kind of gross.
That's very true. Now, let me ask you. Well, let me ask you a question. I'm piggybacking a little bit on that and just a question that came to my mind. I know that sometimes with the wait staff, you can also send a message as well. Would it be okay for the young lady to get the wait staff to maybe say something to that particular guest at the other table? And how would you go about that? I guess perhaps with the eating and smacking and chewing, perhaps that you could say to the wait staff that the person is maybe perhaps talking a bit loud and you're having a business meeting perhaps or something right next to the table and ask them if they could quiet down a little bit. So I guess you could utilize the wait staff to help you with that if it's someone at another table.
Yeah, that would be good to do that. And I was going to mention, if it was a business meeting, it would be okay to do that rather necessarily if it was just, you know, a personal lunch or something like that. Because what happens is, you know, you can get people that can be very offended and you're not at that table. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But if you're having a meeting and then that is just, you know, it's quite a distraction. It is okay to say something at that time. And then also, too, when having meetings or business over lunch, if you will, the person that plans that luncheon wants to make sure that they tell the waiter in advance and they reserve seating in an area that's going to be out of traffic and hopefully out of the way of people smacking loud. Okay. So, yeah, that's a really, that is certainly a very good, that's a great suggestion. We'll be right back.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Call us now at area code 347-324-3295. That's 347-324-3295. Or email us your comments at etiquetteladies, ladies plural, at gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies@gmail.com.
Okay, we're going to take just a quick break from the emails, and we're going to see if we can go ahead and start picking up callers. Extension 1277, thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi there.
Hi, this is Erica, and I'm calling to state my pet peeve. My pet peeve is when you confide in someone, when you whisper to them, to a person, and then they repeat everything that you have whispered to them out loud. And that's just something that I just have a problem with. But it occurs sometimes.
That is interesting. And that's supposed to be sort of like a secret because you whispered, right?
Exactly.
And then they turn around and announce it.
They announce it to everyone. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I could certainly see where that will be a pet peeve. It would be a little disturbing. Now, had you, you know, announced it to them and they announced it back to make sure they had it right. That's one thing. I would say, well, wow, you know, okay, I think everyone has been alerted to that now or something of that nature. What do you think about that, Denise?
Well, you know, with the person that you're confiding in, I think that you probably will think about that the next time you want to confide in them and probably will not, or at the least, you know, later on pull them to the side and say, look, I, you know, was talking to you in confidence about that, and you know, I didn't appreciate you repeating that out loud to everyone because it wasn't for everyone to hear. So I just wanted to let you know that I didn't like that. And I would, you know, after talking to that person, depending on how they react, I would be very leery of, you know, speaking to them in confidence the next time. So you just kind of have to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, okay, I agree. Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay. And have you confided in that person again?
I haven't done it again. Well, I had tried it about two times, and then since then I haven't done it again. And I've even tried a third time. I wrote down what I said, and then they read it aloud. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I realize now that I just should not confide in that person unless I'm from an area, I guess, you know, where, you know, the people are located that I'm kind of discussing.
Mm-hmm.
I have another pet peeve, and that is my pet peeve is furloughing teachers. I mean, not furloughing teachers, but laying off teachers and then turning right around and posting their jobs. And that's just something that's been occurring a lot. And a lot of times they're saying, well, you know, we're not posting the exact job, but later on it turns out to be the exact job. And that's just something that we're kind of looking at right now.
That's very ugly. I've actually seen that in other professions as well. And they'll get rid of somebody, and then they'll turn around and post that exact same position. They'll try to maybe write it up a little bit differently, but everybody knows it's exactly the same thing.
And I usually tell people in a lot of cases, and I know, excuse me, with teachers right now, The main thing that's going on, it seems, is that everybody's looking at budgets. And I'm not sure, Erica, if in the cases that you've seen that some of the teachers that are being laid off are tenured teachers with 10, 15, 20 years of experience. But when a lot of places or counties or school systems are looking at budget cutting, those teachers tend to have more tenure and more pay. So in many cases, they are actually looking at, I'm sure, bringing teachers in who are making or who will be making less money. I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do, but I'm sure that that happens as well.
Yes, I think it right. Since you said that, I think that probably could be the situation if I'm trying to balance the budget, but it was just something that we just thought was kind of, well, I just thought was kind of bad anyway.
Sure,
well,
I can understand that. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very rude. It's very rude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a matter of fact, I just think it's just, it's rather pathetic that you're laying off teachers, period.
Especially in Georgia.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. With the ratings being so low as is, that they would lay off. But I just simply don't understand with this budget situation. How did the budget get out of control? That's what I want to know. You know, but that, I could do a whole other show on that.
Yeah, absolutely. We sure could.
Mm-hmm.
But
it is
kind of tough. We need good teachers. We need teachers who are tenured to keep our children on track and teach them what they need to know to make it in life, actually, Donna. And it's kind of sad. I have several friends who are educators, and I hear lots of conversations about the same thing. So, you know, I wish them the best of luck in holding on to their jobs as they progress in their future with education.
And how... You know, how are there some counties are having budget issues, but they are able to somewhat bring it under control without having to lay off any teachers?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just quite puzzling to me.
It is very puzzling. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, things are so in a disarray that they just cannot, you know, seem to go on. But, yeah, I do understand certainly that being a pet peeve, especially for educators. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thank you, Erica, for sharing your pet peeve. If you have any more, you can certainly go right ahead. Because after all, you're getting these things off your chest so that you can start your new week excited.
Okay. I have another one.
Okay,
it is about teachers being furloughed. And I just happened to attend a teacher retirement seminar. And one of the teachers whispered and told me, guess what? In our school system, we do not have furlough days. And everyone in the room was like, what? Are you kidding? So I kind of wonder about that one, too, you know. How can one school system and the majority of us have furlough days and they do not have furlough days?
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
Something is wrong with that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think, I would think we'd need to call the police on that situation. That is, it's awful. It's awful. And, you know, who suffers are the children. And
they
it's
sure
just really, yeah, it's really, really sad. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think, too, teachers, they're not the best paid in the world. And of course, when those days come out of their pay, that affects them. They've had their lifestyle set up on based on what they make. And, of course, you take 12 days away in a year, that's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty significant. Mm-hmm. And I think some of them are taking more than that. But I hope that we can get this situation under control really soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that there are a lot of teachers who are actually retiring earlier than they would normally retire so that their retirement pay is still in line with what they, you know, wanted it to be if they did the full 30 years of work.
Mm-hmm.
And with the furlough days, that drops their pay down from what I understand, and so then it would affect their retirement pay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Erica?
Yes, and also another pet peeve is a lot of teachers have been given furlough days, and they've also been told about pay grade cuts, but they have not been given details regarding pay grade cuts. And so a lot of teachers are going to find out in the fall what a pay grade cut actually is. Even though they signed their contract, you know, it did not appear to be a pay grade cut, but some of them are actually going to experience that, you know, and the way it was, you know, things have been written up. The contracts are now different than what they were in the past.
Wow.
I guess things are really changing in this day and time for teachers.
Mm-hmm. And it's really a shame. You're talking about the most admirable position there is. You're educating children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just hoping it's not going to drive out the teachers that are truly, you know, great teachers, have been in the system and really have committed, you know, to the art of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really hoping that they can, you know, really get this together because it's unbelievable. And Erica, you've been an educator for how many years?
28 years.
Wow.
That is a long time.
Mm-hmm. And let me commend you. Let me certainly commend you on that. And that deserves certainly just 28 years in itself certainly deserves an applause.
Absolutely.
That is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And all you teachers out there listening, you know, certainly be encouraged. There's just so much going on right now, and just be encouraged, and I would say just, you know, keep your head up and, you know, just really keep praying, because no, it has to be worked out. It's got to be worked out, you know, very soon, and being at the risk of losing so many really good teachers is once again going to affect our children, and that's really, really sad. And, Erica, we certainly thank you for calling and sharing. I'm sure that your pet peeves also represent a lot of other educators out there that are dealing with this. And it's just awful. And hopefully, you know, this will be something that will be over soon and business can get back to the way it should be. I won't say necessarily back to normal, because at this point it's like, what is normal?
Exactly, you know, so. What is normal?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I have one email here, you guys. It is at the top. She has kindness.
Now it's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
And, of course, each week we always encourage random acts of kindness. And it says, Etiquette and HR Lady, I am 10 years old and I enjoy listening to your show with my dad. You sometimes talk about acts of kindness. Can you give me an example of some? And it says Thomas George from Cincinnati, Ohio. And, George, you're 10 years old. That is wonderful. There are several acts of kindness. By you being a young man even, one real good one will be holding the door for the young ladies or the girls as they walk through the door. In addition to if you see someone that might drop something, just help them in picking, you know, those things up off the floor or wherever they drop them. So it really doesn't, you don't have to have any particular acts of kindness. It's just being kind and polite and helpful to someone, and that pretty much will talk about you being kind. And as a matter of fact, there's another email. It says, Dear Etiquette Lady, I enjoyed listening to your show and are glad you are back. Just wanted to share this with you. Last week, my car stopped on me while on the interstate. Two people stopped to see if they could help. I was really shocked by this because so many people are so selfish. Initially, I was a little nervous, but they seemed nice. Anyways, they stayed until the tow truck came. Just want to say thanks to the two people, John Davis and Marty Filler. And this comes from Deborah Locke in Miami. Wow, Deborah.
That was nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very, very nice.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, so many people are just on the go and trying to get to and fro. And, you know, to have someone actually stop and mean well and try to assist you, I think that is wonderful, and we certainly do applaud them for that. And that just simply let us know that there are still some good, kind people in the world. And of course, you know, part of our objective of this show is to make the world a polite place to live. And now we realize, Denise, that we can only do it one person at a time.
At a time, correct.
That is certainly, that's certainly our main objective. And, Denise,
I do. It says, Dear ladies, I was on an interview some time ago, and another candidate was waiting as well. She was sitting in the reception area chewing and popping gum so loudly I could not concentrate on how I was going to answer my interview question. The receptionist kept looking up, seemingly annoyed. So at some point I finally spoke to the young lady and let her know her gum chewing was very loud, and suggest that she take it out before the interview. She said, "Oh, I didn't know I was so loud." And she thanked me for telling her. I'm not sure if she got the job or not, but I hope that she will remember in the future not to chew gum during an interview or even in the actual lobby area while waiting for an interview. I just wanted to let you ladies know that I felt impelled to tell her because I wasn't sure she knew, and I hope that she will also tell her friends. This comes from Jasmine in Ohio.
Jasmine, that's great. That is great. Yeah, Jasmine was proactive instead of just talking about her and shaking her head and, you know, talking about how ridiculous she found it. She was proactive and she helped her. And obviously, she was obviously very polite in what she said because the young lady sounded as though that she was very, very appreciative of her saying that. And Denise, by you being the HR lady, why don't you elaborate on that a little bit, why it's important to not to chew and pop gum and you know, some other little pet peeves type of things that bother you being an HR person?
Well, I know that some people are very nervous when they come to an interview for whatever reasons. Maybe they don't feel comfortable talking to people that they don't know or what have you. But in interview etiquette, when you get out of your car and walk into the building, you should always be on your top behavior. You never know who you're going to see or encounter. It could be the person who's interviewing you. So it starts really in the parking lot. And what if you cut somebody off in getting a park and you get out of your car and you're raising Cain about, "You cut me off"? That may be the person who's interviewing you. So you just have to be very polite and let people in, find another space or what have you as you walk into the building. You know, make sure that you're very calm. And if you're on a cell phone, I would suggest not even be on a cell phone because some people are very loud when they're talking on the phone, and certainly in the lobby area or the waiting area, to be calm and relaxed. And the gum chewing, yes, that is a no-no, and especially in the interview, no gum chewing. When employers see you, you need to have your best behavior on because they not only look at what's on your resume and how and what experience you have, they also look at your behavior when you're waiting, your behavior as you're sitting across the desk. And I would say that being very calm again, being very polite. And if you're not sure what they're asking you to, you know, to have them repeat the question, I would say that you need to make sure you have your cell phone turned off as you're in the lobby as well as in the interview. But first impressions go a long way with interviewers. So keep that in mind when you're out there looking for jobs. And I know here in the in Georgia, in the Atlanta area, so many people are still looking for work. I hope that, you know, these small tips will help you in the future as you are out looking and interviewing for jobs. And the other thing, Donna, if you're not even ready for an interview just yet and you're going to apply for a job, make sure you're on your best behavior. Make sure you're dressed appropriately. In my environment, I will approach people at the kiosk where they apply online. And, you know, sometimes that does happen, so you need to be on your P's and Q's there as well when you're applying. Come in dressed, not necessarily for an interview, but be very neat and have your pants up and very clean and well-groomed. So those are some of the things I would say.
You can't have your pants on the ground like that song.
That's right, no pants on the ground.
And, yeah, actually, and you know, we do say that you never get a second chance to make a great first impression. And I'm glad you mentioned that. And we've done interview etiquette segments, and we will do some more of those in the future. But what is so important is with the employment being what it is right now, and there's so many people that are competing for these positions, you want to be able to put your best foot forward and do something positive that will stand out. And a lot of times people, they only think that they're placed under the microscope when it comes to the interview. So, Denise, that was really good information. When you even go in to apply, you know, for the position, whether you're filling out a paper app, whether you're filling out an app online when you're inside of that office, it's important to, you know, be on your best behavior at that time. Because you're being screened, just like you were saying, Denise, you're being screened. I remember years ago when I was in a lobby waiting, and I saw this lady, this young lady came in, and she wanted to apply for a position. And the receptionist did not, well, she was probably nervous when she was asking, so she kind of mumbled. And the receptionist asked her, "What did she say? I didn't understand what you said." And she kind of elevated her voice and was a little nasty. She had a little attitude with that. And I thought to myself, ooh, that's a strike because, you know, oftentimes the receptionists, they are screening and they're told. Is that correct, Denise, to just kind of observe that person and, you know, see how
and
they
act? Yes, and every office or business is going to be set up differently. So, there are many, sorry, Donna, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, it's just best to be on your best behavior at all times, and that was good talking about the phone, not being on the phone, and you don't want to necessarily turn your phone off only when it's time to go back for your interview, but in the waiting room. And the same thing, you don't want to be reading anything lewd and crude, the cover, and you're sitting there, you know, waiting to be interviewed, and you're reading some kind of crazy kind of stuff, and because they look at that as well. So,
checking
you know.
Your phone, checking your text messages in the interview, those are some other things to be careful about as well. We're so electronic and cyberspace savvy these days, but in some places it's just not appropriate.
So in case, you know, if you ever wonder whether or not you should do something or not, go with not doing it. You know, so that's going to be the best. And we will. We'll be doing another segment, an interview etiquette segment coming soon. Denise, are you, how are you, you still have some interview, I mean, I'm sorry, some email.
I do have one. This last one says, "Dear ladies," well, actually, I have more than this one. "I attended a party during the spring. I was so annoyed by the fact that some of the food ran out by the time I got through the buffet. It was also clear to me that less people were expected based on how many tables were set up. Please explain to everyone what RSVP means and the importance of responding." This is Della from Youngstown, Ohio.
That's a big one. Big one meaning that it's so common. RSVP is respond a civil play. That's French for please respond. Now, what is really important, and a lot of people don't realize it, but you respond whether you're going to be able to attend and or you respond if you cannot attend. And people utilize RSVP for a certain reason. Generally, there's food involved, and there has to be some type of preparation for food. So, you know, if they have a count of 100 people you have a 25 people did not RSVP. Well, they've prepared for 100, mm-hmm. and you have 125 show up. That's not, you know, that's looked at as lack of preparation. But the lack of preparation actually comes from the person who did not RSVP. And something else along the same lines is if you're telling someone that you're responding and you say you're coming, don't show up with three or four different people with mm-hmm. you and you did not notify the host and make sure that you clear to see if you can bring those people with you. So that RSVP is very, very crucial. And you know, and you'll find it with birthday parties, with retirement parties. You'll find it with weddings. And normally, especially weddings and retirement parties, things of that nature, generally these are set up. You pay per person. So that count is extremely important to know, and it's very important that it is accurate. And because I can recall when I attended an event and there were some people standing around complaining that they ran out of food. And, of course, uh-huh. by me being the etiquette lady, I asked this person that was doing all this complaining, did they RSVP? Uh-huh. And their response, ironically, was, well, no, they knew I was coming. And, see, a lot of times that happens as well. You know, when people are going to know who you are, okay, so most people don't invite strangers to their affairs. Mm-hmm. So the people that the invitations are extended to usually know the host, but common courtesy says, you know, I know she knows I'm coming, but I need to let her know I'm coming because of having to take a head count. So that's very mm-hmm. important. That's very important. I just thought it was so ironic that, you know, the people that were complaining were part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. An RSVP. And so that's really important. And thank you for that email. Who did that come from?
This was from Della in Ohio.
Della in mm-hmm. Ohio. Yes, Della. And sometimes you have to, you know, explain to people. There are some people, you know, obviously that don't know what RSVP means.
Exactly.
But,
I know.
Mm-hmm. But do remember, is responde, s'il vous plaît, and just mm-hmm. please respond. You respond one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Send your, you know, regards or your regrets. So very, very important. Well, while Denise, do you have any more? I know you pulled several, so we've got a couple.
I do have one. This one is just pretty much a comment. Dear ladies, I love fashion, and I'm very observant. But what my pet peeve is when men or women wear pants that are much too long and are on the ground or underneath their shoes.
Mm.
Should I say anything? What do you think? Future designer Jasmine in Los Angeles.
Wow. Yeah, they just need to be altered.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
They need to be altered a little bit.
You know, a lot of people don't use alteration shops or mm-hmm. alter or get anybody to hem, and they just wear their stuff. Oh, it
sure.
looks good. I'm wearing it.
Right. Yeah. Of course, and part of being neat and neatly groomed, you want to make sure that, you know, you're not stepping all over your pants. So yeah.
Yeah,
it's
you could trip. You could actually fall
mm-hmm.
and trip.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, thank you for that. You guys, thank you so much for the emails. We are pretty much caught up. It took us a couple shows, but thanks again for supporting our show and listening. Everyone who, you know, emailed us, called, thank you so much, loyal listeners, for tuning in. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or an etiquette topic, you can feel free to certainly let us know. Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen as well. And remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And please remember to do at least one random act of kindness this week. And if you would like to contact us and let us know about it, do that. We'll be glad to talk about it on the next show, okay? Thanks again for tuning in. Good night. Take care. And God bless.
God bless.
Now it's time.
You've been listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we'll discuss another exciting topic.